The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, 80s action star Colton Stone. Hope you're doing all right. Are you ready to just wash yourself from the week?
Yeah.
How are you?
Man, I'll tell you, I'm a little late today. Because
Well, you had to find your Hail Varsity sweatshirt.
Well, and me and Moose were doing, you know, Irish car bombs last night.
Really? We're going to start the day like that.
At Tim Miles' super secret going away party.
Is that the latest on the message board?
It was awesome.
There's a going away party before they left for Illinois. Okay, thank you.
But given all the talk this week, me and Moose ended up downgrading to Purple Passion just to keep it, you know, you didn't want to go too far. After a couple Three Wise Men and Irish car bombs, you need to kind of take it down a notch.
Yeah, well, and we'll get into so much of the discussion this week. The Moose topic, we'll touch on Tim Miles, Nebraska, Illinois today. It is a super weekend and opportunity for one Ndamukong Suh as the Rams and Patriots get rolling. Our rewind coming up is with the former Ram and Super Bowl champ Grant Wistrom. G-Dub will be, you'll hear that around 7:30. Coming up 8:05 is Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse. This is my favorite part of the weekend or the week from Bill Moose. And this kind of describes him and fits him to a T from a personality standpoint.
You know, if we have a cold beer here or there, a cup of coffee or a piece of pie, hey, that's me, and I'm not going to change.
God love him.
He needs to change, man. What do you mean pie? He's having pie? Who's having pie with Moose, by the way? That's the one thing. I'm cool with his – I like the fact that he will have a cold one with him.
My grandmother is very efficient at making strawberry rhubarb pie.
Efficient.
Efficient is being modest. She could sell them.
I don't understand. Who are these people that are just having a piece of pie with Moose? Like, where is that occurring?
Maybe it's dessert.
Because I can picture them in some Nebraska outpost having a cold one.
Sure.
Or having some coffee. What I can't picture is Moose rolls into town and it's like, hey, Barbara, get the pie. Moose is here. Get the. We're going to have some pie with Moose. But that's fine.
So
happened. That's probably why you brought it up.
3 weeks ago, when you're down on the weekend edition, Kranak, we go to commercial break.
Yep.
And you're like, bro, what's going on with Moose?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, here's what's out there. And that's all I got for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to now, and you had good reporting or response to the statement from Bounds and Green from the Journal Star and World Herald, okay? And they had to follow up with what they were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks were like, huh? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And it has dominated the week. It has been interesting, to say the least. And I'm interested to kind of get your assessment of it. My thought is, Bill Moose is a guy that has been good to us in our show, okay? Mm-hmm. Come on. He's a guy that went and got Scott Frost. He's a guy that is assessing the basketball program as we speak.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we know about the guy, that he is a people person. And he had his appearance Wednesday night on the Husker Network and took phone calls and laid out what's going on. And if you're waking up here, it's 7:10 and you're kind of like, oh, God, they're talking about this Moose thing again. But it's interesting, and it's also it's also sad that this is what's dominated the week when you've got a slew of Nebraska moments potentially in the Super Bowl. Because Super Bowl week's supposed to be awesome. That's what's supposed to be what you get into end of January, February. And we're talking Moose here. And, you know, for Nebraska, the program and the athletic department and all of it, I mean, can you have any calm? I feel bad. It's like, you know, there's supposed to be no drama moving forward with Frost and everything.
No, yeah.
Basketball was supposed to be money this year, right? And now this is what you get a month into 2019.
Here's what probably happened. There are no specifics out there. Like, he said this and did that. What probably happened? Probably. Moose was drinking somewhere and said something stupid. Probably.
Okay.
Said something stupid, probably. Like a lot of people that drink do. Right? Just said something dumb, and then it took on a life of its own. That's probably what happened. Because
how does it go from that?
Because we're junior high as Husker fans.
And it goes from that to?
Because we're junior high.
He's going to lose his job.
Well, now that thing did escalate quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it fed on itself, you know? It fed on itself via social media. Mm. One person heard something. They put something out there on Twitter. Hey, I heard something. Someone else, I heard something too. I heard something too. And then before you know it, all these people they all heard something, but what they heard was actually somebody heard something. They didn't actually hear what happened. They they heard that somebody else heard something.
It's a game of telephone.
And it just kept going. And it just kept going and going and going. So pretty weird, but I think people get over it. Now, sorry for Moose, but it's the truth. He is going to have that tag now.
Right, and that is...
You know, and he's going to be looking over his shoulder every time he has a beer.
If it's not true... There needs to be some repercussion to this nastiness that has been spread about him and speculated about him.
I don't think you're going to find out the root. I don't think. Maybe you will. I don't know.
That's the next rumor wave.
Oh.
Who done it? Who's behind it?
Could it maybe be the basketball coach that's losing his team again?
I don't know. Here is Bill Moose on said basketball coach and... That's a whole different area.
Let's hear the support.
Tim Miles is our basketball coach. I support him. I want to win every game from here on out. I think we're capable of that. It's unfortunate that we have some injury things that we're concerned with now, but we need to bounce back and play well, and we can still have a very, very good season. So I will not disrupt that, and I support Tim and his staff and our great players and everything we're doing right now, and then we'll assess it at the end of the year. That's always been my practice.
Okay, there's his thoughts on Miles. I don't have an attendance report on Bill Moose. How many basketball games has he been there to see in person?
He watched Rifle.
Right.
Which, by the way, Rifle has beat Army and Navy. What does that say?
It means Nebraska's there to defend.
Thanks a lot, ISIS. Don't worry. You have nothing to worry about, apparently.
If you're going to make a move on the basketball coach, if you got to make that decision, if things don't get turned around, do you need to be at basketball more than a handful of games?
No, I don't. Who cares how many games an AD attends unless he attends none ever? I mean, seriously, like, honestly, is there anybody that's listening now that is seriously worried about that? Like, where Moose is sitting?
Watching? No, I'm not. I don't care that he's in his suite versus in the stands. I'm saying to get a full, fair evaluation, maybe you're DVRing and watching at home when he's on an airplane. Okay. But there's going to be that's one objection from the Tim Miles crowd. Well, if you're going to evaluate my program, be there to see it.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just throwing it out there.
No, it's true. I'm fine. Look.
It goes back to in-state recruiting when it was ignored.
Yeah,
it's one thing to not take Nebraska kids, but don't skip evaluation.
Yeah,
at least see it with your own eyes as to why you're not taking Timmy from Fremont.
Well, the defend Miles crowd that's saying, "Oh, he's got to be there in person to evaluate it." Look, Tim Miles doesn't have his job. It's not because Bill Moose didn't fairly evaluate him with attendance at games. It's because Tim Miles' team is crumbling again.
You took an 11-2 team that's now that was a 5 seed that is hanging on as a projected 10 seed right now.
They're a mess.
Some say a 4 seed in the NIT.
They're a mess right now. Well, they're a mess. 2-6 in January.
They're a mess, and they were a mess with Cope. As bad as the injury is, as horrible as this is with a great kid and tremendous player out, they were a mess this month with him.
I'm trying to find the Bill Moose so I can quote it directly, but I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going out on a limb. I'm 99.9% confident. When asked about Mike Riley when Moose was here,
right?
How did he respond about Mike Riley? Well, he's my coach, and I support him.
Sure.
What did he just say about Tim Miles? He's my coach, and I support him.
And right now, he is the coach.
Yeah.
He's in season.
But that's not saying anything. That's just stating a fact. Mm-hmm. That's like saying, you know, grass is green. My name is Bill. He is my coach. He's just stating a fact. He's not really endorsing him. Compare that to, say, how you've heard him talk about Erstad.
Sure.
Or how he's talked about Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really does support them. Right? Well, like, he really does. He talks them up.
Sure. Well, let's spend a couple more minutes here on Moose. And when you as a Nebraska fan think of your athletic director, what do you want? You want somebody that just isn't competent, but that's a game changer. You want to have a guy that can sit down with other ADs and, in the best interest of your program and conference, be in the mix.
Okay? Totally.
And Bill Moose has done that for 25 years of his life.
Yep.
He's been able to sit at that table with the Oklahomas of the world, with the Texases of the world, with the Oregons. I mean, you think of what Nebraska's had as an athletic director, and Bill Dolman kind of just ran this down yesterday because he's worked in administration, and he's like, you know, Bill Byrne is as many people out there with dollar bill that he may have rubbed wrong. That guy kind of went next stratosphere with Nebraska and the way the athletic department was going.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you had T.O., God bless him, come in and stabilize things after lots of Ferrari wrecking.
The wandering years.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then you get Eichhorst, and, you know, we'll just leave that one there because it is what it is. And here,
he's at Texas now. That's all you got to know.
Well, but he's, whatever. And then you get a guy like Moose that two times in his career has sat down, landed, and closed a game-changing head coach.
Yeah. Now, Frost fell into his lap a little, but he deserves credit.
Well, he still had to get on the plane.
Yeah, sure.
Make it okay.
Sure. And he had to convince Scott that he wasn't, you know.
This is the right administration for you.
Exactly.
So
you give him credit for that. I prefer a guy like Moose.
I want a guy that's out and about with the people. And I want a guy that is able to sit down, have a cup of coffee, cold beer, or a piece of pie.
Yeah.
Now,
when it
comes to work with staff and what's going on the day-to-day, that's the discussion that needs to be had.
Yeah.
What type of boss do you like to work for? What type of boss needs to be running an athletic department? I can't speak to that. I'm not down there. I'm not on the third floor when it comes, again, to attendance.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, if you're a head coach working with your athletic director,
you just want to be left alone and supported.
I need
a private jet to go see this dude in Florida. Done. Hey, I need a new facility because we're now 10th in the Big Ten in X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Hey, we got this facility issue, right? Hey, this policy issue I feel pretty strongly about. Will you carry that forward in your AD meetings, right? And then the AD would have pretty simple things like, all right, you know, I'm not going to put a win-loss thing on it, but you better be competitive. Your team's better.
Right.
Your team's better have discipline and not leave the place trashed. You know, I don't want them dressing like idiots on the court
it's
or
not
on the,
Aaron
on the
Schmidt's
field.
Back seat of her SUV because Junior's a pig.
It's not a traditional manager-employee relationship, right? Like, you are the coach is running a fiefdom. They're running their own giant organization.
It's right? It's not Office Space where homeboy in the suspenders is walking around.
No, so
every guy in the cubicle about the TPS reports.
Look, if Tim Miles, if he's going to keep his job, and it sucks to even be talking about this because if you think about kind of personality types and all that, Tim Miles, good dude.
You want to talk about guys you like dealing with, and it's great in front of the camera and microphone,
and that you wish and was getting better results.
It means well.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to talk about a personality that's a pure pleasure to hear from?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But look, the tone was set. The tone was set when Mike Riley was let go. Hank Bounds and Ronnie Green and Bill Moose talked about it openly. Results matter.
They do.
Right, when you're in competitive sports, the general point is to win the competition.
You're already getting paid. Yeah. You might as well be good at getting paid.
Getting paid a lot, right? Like,
You passed the SEC this year in conference earnings.
Yeah, you get paid a lot, man. You got to win. So if Tim Miles wants to keep his job, he's got to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they go on a run, you know, and they go, you know,
8-2, 6-4, 7-3.
Then he's fine.
They can find a way to get into the tournament. It isn't over.
If he doesn't, he ain't. He's not going to keep his job. It's like because at this point you would have a track record. Mm-hmm. Just be like, you know, they had that magical year where they went to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it fizzled, and pretty much the trend that you're seeing with this group.
It was the trend that happened the following year when you had a tournament team coming back.
They fizzle out. There's a heavy reliance. I know a lot of basketball programs rely on transfers, but there's a heavy reliance on that here.
More so than get somebody else who's already been developed, to speak, and bring them in and let them win for you.
And you probably lose more guys to transfer. Contributors. Starters, not bench warmers.
I mean, the guy named Jacobson going for 14 a game at Iowa State.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Turn it around, get some W's. You know, you'll see. But that's what it comes down to. It won't be because he didn't attend enough games to where he didn't know what was going on. He knows how to read a box score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows how to read standings.
Right.
He knows how to read preseason projections versus current reality.
The reason I bring it up is because that could be an objection. The other part of it, too, is that how close is Moose with Miles and his staff?
Doesn't appear very close.
Okay. Now,
he got the he's getting the Riley treatment.
Fine. But we've bitched and moaned about the Eichhorst Bo dynamic, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That was important to some fans. Okay, the AD, whether he's your coach or not, he is your coach because you're now the new AD. You need to be there for the guy, even though he wasn't your hire.
Hmm.
What's it look like now?
It was a little different because Bo won, right? Mm-hmm. It was a little different. And then you couple that with Eichhorst's kind of personality type and the way he presented himself, very lawyerly, like he was.
And was, you know, this was Sean brought in to fire Bo. Yes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing. That's I'm just bringing that up.
It's fair.
With, are you there? And you still have administration that directly oversees Miles. You have BAME and the basketball program. And so there are people there. But the guy that's going to make the call is Bill Moose. What's your relationship like with Miles, his staff, and the team?
I don't know, but it's interesting that you're talking about two guys that seemingly can get along with anybody,
mm-hmm.
right? Like personality wise, like you could have a beer with either of those dudes.
Sure.
Right. After a while, you'd be like, Tim, calm down, man. All right. Because you know, Tim would be like, ah, nah, nah.
We're just playing cards. your deal.
Tim, relax. Right. Relax. This guy. You know, so maybe there's that personality.
Just go
class.
Fish. Put your money away.
Maybe it's two type A's that can't get along. You know, that happens too. I don't know. I just know this. Bill Moose would not care about Tim's personality as long as he's not running afoul of the law or cultural norms. He would not care if the dude was pumping out victories left and right, not going 2-6 down the stretch in January. And now you're at Illinois today.
That place.
Preseason, that should be a W automatic.
Except that Illinois gives a damn now.
Oh, yeah. You can't call anything automatic now. You lose Kobe, you're playing a walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
That happens so so rarely in college basketball. Walk-ons do not play.
That start, that is now starting. Yeah. And Borkart's got a scholarship now. But
well, yeah. You know what I'm saying. Right. And he's doing fine.
No, he's changed the heart of the team, in my opinion.
A little bit.
They're scrappy. They're scrappier.
They need that, by the way. Where is that? Just general toughness on the team. You are seeing that from Borkart, mm-hmm. but your top line guys need to exhibit some of that too.
Well, they got to step up. Here's Tim Miles on what this team needs, and big one today against the Illini.
Yeah, I just stick with it. Stay positive. You know, there's noise, and the kids hear the noise, and everybody hears the noise, but we can't eat our own and be a successful society, so we have to stay with it, right? And as we do this, I think it's important. Like, everybody faces adversity in life. You know, so how do we stay strong, remain positive, and find a way to be successful when you're low confidence? And the only way success is earned. You know, nothing succeeds success. I remember saying that as a second grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, whatever it was, right? You can't have that. So we have to go out and play well and earn it. Now, we played harder against Wisconsin. I thought we took some, we had a couple guys with their Superman cape on trying to do too much on offense. And that's just not the way it can work. We have to share it, trust each other, take the open shots when they're there. Second of all, I thought Wisconsin made plays. Davison hit a really tough turnaround. Trice hit one over Brady that was a very difficult shot. Charlie Thomas hits his third three of his career. They made plays. You know, those were big plays. We I don't think did. We made hustle plays, but we don't have that bravado yet, I think, to, you know, and you earn that. I think we had it. Now it's gone mysteriously, right? And we got to earn it back.
That sucks that this is the...
That's the talking point is you got a senior-laden team that's been through things already. They got to get their bravado back. The confidence topic of this basketball team was bad, and it went to worse losing Co.
Oh, I know.
But he is angling things to kind of go underdog card, right? That's where they can maybe tap into and play more free. That sounds so psychobabble. I apologize about that, but that's where he's got to go with him. Just play hard, man. And that's the thing is Nebraska basketball fans were underwhelmed with how things went against Ohio State a week ago. Mm-hmm. Just because it didn't look like they cared, and they were just zapped and they were down on themselves. And it started with Rutgers. And really, you know what I think? I think that this team was ready to let a long exhale out against Michigan State. Okay. About 17 days ago, they played Sparty, played their butt off against Sparty. It was a rock fight. They found a way, despite how bad they shot, to hang in there and have a chance to win, right? And I think once they fell short of that, I think that some of the folks on the team thought they win were in. Okay. That would have sealed it for them. They still would have had Sparty. They got the win against a one seed. We're good, or a two seed. Well, once that didn't happen, now there's a lot more left on your plate to go do. Instead of saying, okay, we were close against Sparty, now panic set in because clearly they didn't move on to be ready for Rutgers. Clearly they missed an opportunity against a reeling Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And then Wisconsin's just going to carve you up. Wisconsin's good. Their system's money. And you know what? That was a coin flip game, whether you beat Sparty or not, right?
Wisconsin mentally is usually very good.
Thank you. Right? I mean,
they're going to test you.
They absorbed, they assessed, and then they reacted.
You can't fake it against them.
No, they were up basically 14 on you. They were down by 3 to 5 points, and then they came back and won by 12 or 11.
Look, this thing ain't lost, but I think it is concerning the topic. The topics that they're discussing right now, mm-hmm. that Miles is discussing right now, where he's talking about these guys, you know, they hear the noise and we eat our young. We can't have that. We got to stay positive. We got to find our confidence. We got to find our bravado. What he's really saying there, big picture, the team's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mess mentally right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coach's job to make sure they're not a mess mentally.
Right.
Right? Is Wisconsin a mess mentally? No. Is Michigan State a mess mentally? No. They know who they are. They play hard the whole time. They play competently. They have bench depth. Nebraska does not have bench depth. Nebraska does not play competently. I mean, that's just what's happening, man. And this isn't unique to Miles either. That's what's funny about this too is you could just replace Tim Miles for Doc Sadler with what we're talking about. You could replace Barry Collier with what we're talking about. It's
here's the big difference.
It's Nebraska hoops, man.
No, Nebraska hoops is its own deal. But the thing that Tim Miles has brought that, that Doc and Barry couldn't or didn't at the same level.
Higher level recruiting.
Is talent.
Yeah.
You have got guys that are fringe pro players, okay? And you've had 7 years of bringing guys in, and your niche was to go get guys that are top 100, top 50, top 150 guys the second time through the rung that are transfers.
See, man, I...
So you go the transfer route, you hit it big year two, you raise the bar year two, and what happens? Well, you never really got comfortable, and when you did bring in high school kids versus the transfer, the high school kids moved on. And you have an epidemic of transfers in college basketball. It's brutal, but it's really hit Nebraska because you've never been able to sustain. You're always chasing the next reload and hoping it hits. And oh, by the way, can they be leaders when things get tough because they've already left the program once?
All right, man. After seeing it, and you're right, that's what they've done. Nebraska's gone heavy on internationals. They've gone heavy, and a lot of internationals have come in and transferred out, and heavy on transfers, period. And you're right, it's been sort of a talent run, and now you got it. Supposedly you had it. You have all these top 150 guys. Mm-hmm. What's it doing for you? Not much. I think similar to football, you need to find a basketball niche mm-hmm. of some sort. I mean, Nebraska hasn't found their niche yet. Their approach has been, let's bring in a bunch of talented guys, right? And that cool, right? You can bring in a bunch of talented guys. But I think similar to like what Georgia Tech does on offense or Army or Navy does on offense, you have got to find something that's different. You have no history here, zero. It is not a top flight destination for basketball. It's just not. I look more like at Wisconsin and their style, which is we're going to go big, we're going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's our thing. What is Nebraska's thing? You can say it's defense, but that
Nebraska's
comes and goes.
Nebraska's thing has been to underachieve.
Well, true. But what's their thing? What's their identity? What do they want to be about? I would even be okay if it was just like, you know what? We're Princeton offense. That's what we're doing. We are going to. Or you know that what? Is,
here's,
or you that, know what? We are run and gun.
That's not going to attract kids. You got to get a big. Bigs are fewer and harder to find.
But you know what I'm saying?
No, find an identity.
A defined thing, and it's got to be different. I think it's kind of proven at this point. Nebraska is not going to be that destination for top 150 guys. And that's how you're just going to win. You're just going to out-talent people?
Mm-hmm.
No, man. That's not sustainable. Too many guys have left. You know? You're piecing together transfers left and right. The dynamics of your team are changing so often. I think you got to build a legitimate team. Mm-hmm. A team. You're bringing in
so,
a class.
Fine.
They
so
stay,
as a Nebraska basketball fan,
them.
At this point right now with the Taj Mahal you go to and watch, with the setup around the arena, are you in for... All right, the next guy is going to come in and just we're going to give him time to build. No, you want to win now because you're pissed you're not winning now.
I don't know. You got to do something different though, man, because the revolving door, the dynamics of the team.
The revolving door
so
of taking
much.
A flyer on a mid-major hoping he can hit it as a major.
Some of that.
Is missed.
And then there's guys leaving a lot. Why? Why? Why are guys leaving a lot?
Well, is the treatment in the locker room consistent or is it a roller coaster?
Yeah,
is it a roller coaster up and down?
Makes you wonder.
Let's tell you about Madonna Therapy Plus. When you return to sports or work activities, think about Madonna Therapy Plus. Three locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha. The Run Well program designed to keep runners healthy and performing at their best by getting to the root of what problems may have. Also, the Run Well program has a comprehensive running form evaluation. That's video analysis. To see what's causing you issues, increase strength, optimize performance, prevent injuries. Madonna Therapy Plus can help. And when you look at Madonna, proactive, great spot to go work out, get in shape. and shed some of those pounds. 56th and Pine Lake. Your first 6 months, just $39 when you get signed up. Also, associate members, $29 a month. Love Madonna. Great stuff. Junior is going to be shooting about 100 free throws a little bit later today. And Madonna offering 140 weekly group fitness classes, one for everyone. Great to have you in on the weekend edition. We hit Moose. We hit Miles. And we'll talk with Mr. Blackshirt, Grant Wistrom. Our Rewind is next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's Super Bowl week, Rams, Patriots, and Amanda played in the first showing of Rams Patriots, Husker Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ Grant Wistrom back with us. Grant, how you been?
I'm good, Schmitty. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I assume where you're at is part of this this Arctic vortex garbage that's going on. Are you staying warm?
Trying to. I haven't left the house today. Kids were out of school, so had plans changed and stayed home. But the amazing thing is I just witnessed my son walk about a quarter of a mile, and it might be 10 degrees here, walk a quarter mile uphill in the snow with shorts on, and not complain about it.
What's up with that, man? My kid's in shorts. Every kid I see around town's in shorts. They refuse to wear pants or a jacket. What the hell?
Yeah, you know what? I gave up that fight a long time ago. I'm like, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. You don't want to wear pants or a jacket. I am tired of fighting this fight. So, and he does not like it. He never complains, and so I don't write his butt about it.
There you go. Make your own choice and live with it. I like it. So what's Sunday going to be like at the Wistrom House during the Super Bowl? I mean, is it guac dip and wings, or do you guys go somewhere? I mean, how do you partake the game?
No, we'll be hanging out here. We've got some friends coming over. Actually, my son and I are going to smoke a brisket on Saturday. And we're going to make brisket sandwiches for the Super Bowl. I'm going to throw a bunch of wings in the oven and then probably end up with some pizzas over here at some point, too. We've got some friends coming over. And it's just a nice long day of eating and watching as much football as we can, enjoying the last little remnants of joy until next fall. And way too much.
Last thought on food. How long are you doing your brisket? Any secrets for us?
No, I got nothing. I'm pretty new to the game on this, but I've got a Kamado Joe, and a green egg sort of thing. It's tough to ruin anything on it, so I don't know. Probably low and slow for about 10 hours and then wrap it up and leave it on there for a little bit longer. But I got to follow the directions, right? Still, I'm not a barbecue king or anything.
Well, keep at it. Grant Wistrom with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So everyone's watching the Gatorade bath after the Super Bowl. You can prop bet if it's going to be clear, if it's going to be blue, green, whatever. Did you have a second thought before you and JP doused Coach Osborne after the Tennessee game? Were you worried about that moment?
Not one bit. Not one bit. At that point in our lives at Nebraska, it was like, you know what? You know, we're good or bad, we're done playing for the man. If he wants to be mad at us, he can be mad at us. But this is just a pure outlet of joy and a release of joy. And I don't think it bothered him, actually.
No, I've heard the audio. He was surprised it was cold. But, yeah. The smile was good. That's pretty awesome. Grant, when you look at New England and I look at Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they have both been so complimentary to each other. Belichick's incredible. Brady's big time. When you guys played them, and I hate bringing this up to you because I know you're a guy that won so many of your ball games. That's one that still stings, I assume. Did you notice then and think long term that, hey, somebody that just beat us is going to be a dynasty? Did you think that of New England, that they could be good this long?
No, I had no thoughts of that whatsoever.
Nothing like that?
Nothing like that.
All right.
Nothing like that at that point in his career.
So what impresses you most about what Belichick does, you being a defensive guy?
You know, he puts guys in positions to make plays. I was, scrolling through social media this morning, and he's like, don't tell me what a guy can't do. tell me what a guy can do. And so I put him in a position to make the plays that he's good at making. He maximizes the potential on either side of the ball of guys that come to play for him. And not only that, guys that are problem guys that on other teams, when they go to the Patriots, they don't cause problems anymore. They're team players. They toe the line. They buy in and they sell out for each other.
They want to win, right? And that's, I mean, they maybe haven't experienced that in their career. A lot of guys, I mean, I'm thinking of Randy Moss, right? I mean, Randy was great, but Randy hadn't won at that level ever, really, and was right there on the doorstep. Grant Wistrom's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So are you an active follower of the Rams? Have you checked out their season? I mean, are you, I assume you're rooting for them, or is your allegiance to Seattle? How do you kind of parse through it, or do you just like football? Does it matter?
I tell you what, I really don't care for either team anymore.
Okay.
And I don't care that the Rams left Missouri. I care how they left Missouri, costing, you know, the taxpayers stadium money and stadium studies and the whatnot. I'm a Missouri guy originally. Don't jerk me around. But Kroenke knew he was moving the team as soon as he bought the team. And they drug it out for about 4 or 5 years and cost the state a lot of money. So I'm not a huge fan of the Rams, but I mean, you know, a less fan of the Patriots. I respect the Patriots, but not a fan of all of them. So I hope the Rams win, but if it was possible for both teams to lose, I'd be okay with that.
Grant Wistrom's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Yeah, I can see where that would hit home with you being a Missouri guy. Let's talk about Ndamukong Suh. When you saw him end up as a free agent with the Rams, what were you thinking the Rams might get out of him? What do you think Suh had left in the tank?
I mean, he's still a dang good football player. And you pair him up with Aaron Donald, it's two formidable defensive tackles. I couldn't be happier for him. I would have loved to have played with Ndamukong. I mean, just the hard-nosed, tough, gritty type of player he is. I don't care if people think he's dirty. That does not bother me in the least. I guarantee the people that say he's dirty would love to have him on their team because I don't think he's dirty. I think he's tough. I think he's hard-nosed. And I think he fights for what he wants. And I will play football any day of the week with a person like that. So I was excited when the Rams got him. I hope he has a chance to win a Super Bowl with the Rams. Just I'd want him to win a Super Bowl wherever he was at just because I respect him as a player and as a man, and I think he's, I hope they pull it off.
The intimidation side of things is almost as great as his God-given abilities. And was that something that you relished, rolling onto the field, intimidating the other team? Because back when you were at Nebraska, you were phenomenal. But the intimidation side of things also, a lot of teams were scared to get out on the field with you.
Maybe I lost you there for a second. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm talking about the intimidation factor, and I think Suh has that. Is that something you relished at Nebraska, that intimidation factor your teams had?
Absolutely. I mean, when you would come to play us, we were already at a huge advantage. You know, they were, whether it be from, you know, just our nature as a team and the way that we played football and beat people up, or our fans in the stands and the crowd noise, whatever it was, we had a lot of games won before, you know, the opening kickoff. And, you know, I don't know. I never watched Ndamukong play in high school. Mm-hmm. Maybe he already played with a huge chip on his shoulder, but I know he played that way at Nebraska, and I know he plays that way in the NFL. And it does go a long way. I mean, regardless of what guys want to say, they know when they line up against him, it is going to be a fight for 60 minutes.
I got a good story this week from Coach McBride. And Coach was eyeball-to-eyeball with Ndamukong Suh in his junior year. And Coach McBride was passing along to Suh that, you know, there's some NFL scouts that think you take a nap on some plays. He was just no BS with Suh and helped kind of motivate him and just told him straight, look, you could be great. You just got to do it all the time. Was there a moment that you remember that McBride challenged you or some of your teammates to raise it a level when you didn't think you could?
You know, Schmitty, I don't ever remember that happening because I don't, and I'm not saying that we were perfect.
Sure.
But I do believe that we played as hard as we could possibly play every snap that we were on the field. And I think that I think that Ndamukong does that now. You know, I know as a younger player, that was kind of, you know, the label on him that he would take plays off, but he certainly has changed that style. But no, I don't remember Charlie ever having to jump down our throats or anything like that. I mean, if anything, it was trying to back us down at times at practice because of all, you know, not all the extracurricular stuff, but there, you know, there were some things after the whistle, and it did get possibly a little bit more physical than they wanted even between the whistles. So it was never an issue with him telling us to, you know, to pick up the intensity. Usually in practice and things like that, you know, it was time to dial it down a little bit. And never, ever, ever would he have to mention go harder in a game.
How did he back you guys down?
How did he back us down?
Yeah.
Well, he just, Charlie has his ways. I mean, the quickest way is, you know, quit doing what I don't want you to do or you're not going to play. I mean, that always works.
Right. But did he get colorful with it, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Always. Charlie can't say anything without being colorful with it. Yeah, that's just how he rolls. That's what, I don't know, that's how I feel an old, salty football coach needs to be.
Couple more minutes. Grant Wistrom with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Grant, I wanted to get your take on Bill Moose. There was some stuff that was out there rumor-wise on social media and message boards of all places, right? Saying some things about the Nebraska Athletic Director. The Chancellor and President of the University came out with a statement of support on Bill Moose. What's your interaction been like, if anything, or if at all, with Moose when you did come back? Have you had a chance to spend time and meet and spend some time and meet Moose at all?
No, I haven't, but I would totally think everybody should get all of their reliable information from posts on social media. So I saw that stuff come across all my social media things. I really appreciate the President Chancellor stepping up and having his back. But, I mean, I don't know anything about it, but if it's more than just, it's just a guy going out and having beers and socializing, I do that every chance I get. You know, and I appreciate what Bill had to say as far as I'm a rancher. I like to be around people, and, yeah, I like to have a beer every now and then. That's as far as it goes, and I believe that. And I really appreciate – I saw Adam Carriker posted, I'd rather be your shot of whiskey than everybody's cup of tea, and I appreciate that too. I mean, there's a certain aspect, I think, of those jobs where you do have to socialize, and drinking is involved in socialization. And so what? Guy has a beer or two, who cares? I think he's doing a great job.
Kind of my take, absolutely. I think Moose did what Nebraska fans wanted, and that's get Scott Frost back here. Grant, we'll end on this. Nebraska had a really good finish to the season. Ended up going 4-2, and you know, they were right there. They're playing better football. How excited are you for year two, offensively, defensively, the whole side of the ball for Nebraska moving forward? Spring's not that far away.
You know, I couldn't be more excited. Just the trajectory that the program's on right now, the excitement in the state about Nebraska football, the recruiting season that they've had thus far. You know, I'm not expecting, you know, win a national championship. I'm not, but, you know, we're going to be more competitive. It's going to be, the guys are going to be more polished. A lot of the mental errors that were made last time aren't going to be made this year, and we're going to be a much better football team.
Do you want to see more visits into the state of Missouri? I know Nebraska's been trying.
Yeah, I hope so, you know, and there's talent here to be had, and I hope they pick up a few more of them.
Grant Wistrom's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Grant, thanks for talking Super Bowl this week and spending a few minutes with us here on the show, bud.
Well, anytime, Schmitty. We'll see you, man.
The Hale Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hour two, big thanks to Grant Wistrom and the Rewind Hale Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You can log on HaleVarsity.com. Get your subscription. HaleVarsity.com/subscribe to the magazine, to the premium online content. It is Junior Day today. And want to know what's going on, who's impressing, can log on, 855-3-HUSKER or HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. When you log on, you read a lot of Brandon Vogel. That's a good thing. And we welcome in Mr. Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. That's where you follow him and can read him with Hale Varsity.
Brandon, were you at, I didn't see you last night having Irish car bombs with Moose at 10 Miles Going Away party, man. Where were you?
Yeah, I didn't get the invite for some reason, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there was something in the past week that forced that to get lost in the mail.
You should have been there. It was
that, we start out at 7:06. Both of us are like grumpy because it's 7:06 on a Saturday, despite how much we love doing this. And Kranak opens up with, "Yeah, man, had so many car bombs last night." I mean, yeah,
old Moose.
What's the best?
He can put him down.
What's the best? No, he can't. what's the best?
More of a fireball guy.
Rumor, you've got
completely.
You've got Vogues. I mean, anything like Sue isn't a heartless evil man. There's been a lot of stories this week on the other side of Sue.
A going away party when I know the rest of the basketball teams in Champaign at the moment is pretty good.
Well, the Husker Air Force got Tim there overnight. There's the least they could do. Because he's a good guy. He just doesn't win. So they threw him a going away party, and it was nice.
What's been your take on the week?
I honestly don't know at this point. Like, you know, he just came out and said what he said. It was pretty strong denial across the board, and with no other real actual evidence to go on at this point, you kind of got to take him at his word. And you know, here's the thing: like, if we were just judging the first 15 months of his time as AD, can you even come up with a grade for it? I mean, it's so incomplete at this point that you know. There would have to be something else to realistically think about. Okay, maybe Nebraska needs to make a change here, and I don't know if they ever actually did, or if that was just part of the rumor mill. But you got getting Frost here. People are as optimistic about the football program as they've been probably in about a decade. Basketball, we'll see. That part's coming. But other than that, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot that's had to be done in the major sports for Nebraska. No kind of major changes to the facilities. Like, a lot of that stuff was in place. So it's just it's still strange, and we're a few days removed from it.
Conspiracy theory. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here.
It's already on.
Look, social media has been around a while, okay? And things tend to take on a life of their own. This one, though, felt different because of the noise level and how quickly it escalated, right? Like, in your experience covering Nebraska, you've seen internet rumors, you've seen social media rumors, blah, blah, blah. This one was vastly different, which tells me that there was some smoke somewhere for some reason, right? And it may not be as bad as people are making it out to be, but he probably said or did something stupid at some point somewhere. And or there is somebody within the Nebraska like power apparatus that's probably planting something, right? Like, is that crazy to think?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there certainly could be some smoke there, but I think it definitely feels like with how quickly this happened that there was a fanning of the flames. However, that fire started. Yep. I think what you saw was if there are or is someone or some people out there who did have an issue with Moose and wanted this thing to kind of go bigger, like, it's not that hard to do today. Yep. And, you know, I don't think and those sorts of, like, internal high-level type of power structures are happening at every major program throughout the country. You know, it's you look at these things as $100 million businesses, which most athletic departments at this level are, but it still has the potential to get just as catty and hurt feelings and all that other stuff as any other workplace. And that's the part that I think is easy to forget when you just want to sit down and watch a football game.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Let's go to the Tim Miles side of this with Moose's comments on Miles and where this program's at. You have different projections, still have Nebraska in the tournament. You have 10 games left, and you really got to be a one-game-at-a-time team and head coach. But you have a chance to steer this thing around with not only who's on the schedule, are you capable of doing it without Cope's the question, and can you get out of your own way mentally? What's been your reaction to just the narrative by Coach Miles when it comes to this team's confidence based on the fact that they are a pretty veteran squad?
Well, I think he's, you know, saying and doing what he can. You know, the Wisconsin game, while a loss, you know, a loss wasn't surprising in that scenario, your first game without Copeland, like, I think the effort level overall, at least for me, was a little bit encouraging. I think there's a way that, you know, if Nebraska just strings together, if it gets a win and then can string together one or two, maybe they can hang on and have a shot here at the end. I mean, it's not the most likely outcome. I mean, you also saw during the Wisconsin game just like how many questions the loss of Copeland opened up, and I honestly don't think Nebraska has answers to some of them. It would take a little bit of luck and some guys playing way better than they've ever played before. But what else can you do at this point? You know, you went from 2 weeks ago, if Nebraska had kind of limped into the NCAA tournament with this group, it would have been, people would have been feeling pretty down on the program. Now, if you can still limp into the tournament somehow, well, you probably had a success given the late hurdle that got thrown in their path with the injury. So it's interesting that the mindset, or at least the goal for this team, probably changed a little bit. I don't know if the perception around the program has, though, at all.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. The things that Miles was talking about this week about, hey, we got to keep our confidence, we got to find our bravado, we got to, it sounds like a team that's a mess mentally, right? I mean, I don't even that's not even really a question, but I guess I'm alarmed by, you know, the tone of what he was talking about. I'm just curious about what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the part where you had hoped, like, if there was any sort of advantage to be gleaned from losing your second leading scorer, you hoped it could potentially have that galvanizing effect of like, okay, this just got way harder. You know, people are going to write us off now. Like, let's go prove them wrong. So to, you know, your talk then of maintaining confidence, of all of those things kind of indicate that, well, it doesn't seem to have taken or had that effect to this point. And when you factor that part in, like, that kind of felt like one of this team's only paths forward to make this season what everybody hoped it would be coming in. And I mean, we'll see. They could come out today and play really well on the road, which would be unusual for this season alone, but especially given everything that's gone on this week. But I mean, it's just, I haven't given up all. I haven't totally eliminated Nebraska, but it's, you're just seeing fewer and fewer outs here as we get a little deeper into the season.
Hopefully Nebraska turns it around. Miles retains this position. Let's fast forward a couple months and assume he doesn't and things don't work out. And Brandon, you can get paid millions of dollars for this because literally nobody has ever cracked the code here.
The Vogel search firm.
But no, not even that. Not even who Nebraska would go get. But I'm talking the formula to succeed at Nebraska in hoops. Do you believe that Nebraska has to do it, I guess, differently like a Georgia Tech or a Navy or an Army in football? Like, what is your formula to make Nebraska consistently succeed in basketball? Because got a century's worth of saying it just flat out doesn't happen here.
Yeah, Derek Peterson and I were talking about this the other day, and it's funny you compared them to the option teams, because I think that might be a viable option. You know, when you look at Nebraska's basketball history, it sort of jumps out as being a little bit of an outlier. Like, for them not to have ever won a tournament game, and you look at programs out there, you know, similar, like, lower, bottom of their conference Power 5 teams, like, almost all of them have a win. Like, you know, your best teams get in the tournament. There, it's a one-game setting. You get one. Like, that Nebraska doesn't have one feels a little bit unlucky. So I can see that being appealing to a potential candidate because, hey, if you come in and get one, much less, you know, make it at two out of every 3 years or whatever, you're gonna be a conquering hero. So I think if you went out there and found somebody with an innovative approach, it might be worth doing that because you need something to sort of shake it up. Now, I guess the counterpoint to that is you could go out and hire like a, you know, traditional big name coach if you could lure one to Lincoln who recruits really well, and in basketball you should be only two or three players away from having a team that can make a run and do that. Now, we've thought the Miles era was there a couple of times, and so far it hasn't been, but I think if Nebraska even elevated its recruiting level a little bit there, you could still try the traditional way. I'm much more interested in becoming the Navy of college basketball, though.
So what's out there? You follow basketball quite a bit. Princeton offense was in vogue probably early 2000s.
It needs to stay back in the early 2000s.
But you know what I mean. But as kind of like the spread, as like an equalizer, you know, for lesser talented teams. Is there anything else out there, any coaches out there that's – I'm not asking you to name names. I'm just wondering, is there – like what's the current Princeton offense kind of outlier equalizer basketball approach, if there is one?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's an outlier so much as it's more akin to the spread now, in that you keep seeing more and more people take this approach. But I think sort of the Houston Rockets approach, the almost obsession with threes or layups and everything else doesn't matter. You know, that's kind of the biggest, I think, shakeup for basketball and in NBA. You know, you've seen a lot of teams really adopt that Rockets approach. So I think that something like that still would feel pretty fresh in the college game, at least from the college basketball that I get to watch. You know, guys are taking plenty of threes, don't get me wrong, but like to really push that edge and say like, no, like we talk about this, we're serious about this, we're not just trying to get good threes. Like, I mean, Houston obviously wants good threes, but you're really trying to get as many of those up as you can because it's you're looking at the math of it. Something like that, I think, you could certainly find a guy who could bring that and push that at Nebraska.
Problem with Nebraska is they are shooting as bad at the layup right now as they are at the three-point arc.
Literally, you know, I think Derek pulled those numbers together and they were 9 of their last 27 at the rim, which at 33%, you wouldn't even be happy with that from three-point land. So, yeah.
Brandon Vogels with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. You asked me about the cure-all and being the Navy of college basketball, right? Find your niche, be special, be
find
different.
Something. Yeah.
Listen, the thing that is going to be armchair quarterback hindsight if things continue to spiral out of control and a change is made. I mean, go back 7 years, right? Let's look at what the opportunity was, okay? And that opportunity was, you know, an arena and a practice facility that were insane. They're still insane. They're awesome. And what Nebraska can't do is be cheap And Nebraska better be right if they go mid-major, because it's been a mid-major hires the last 50 hires. Okay, I mean, you look at Doc, you look at Barry. Danny was money. I mean, he was a really – he went from the MAC in Ohio to Nebraska, and he was able to be super good with the talent he brought in. I mean, he brought in NBA dudes. Yeah. He did. They found a way to do it. So do you do what now? Do you go get a recycled coach that's won but didn't win enough? Do you go get an assistant from a blue blood, but he's not Wojo, so he's not going to Duke? Do you go that route? Do you find a Chip Kelly, someone in some outpost at Division II? I'm asking. I mean, the thing to do if things do not work out, if, was to go find a guy at a spot that has won but isn't appreciated. Rick Barnes, the guy has won everywhere he's been. 7 years ago, Texas was pissy with him because he was a 10 or an 11 seed. Well, you'd take that now and twice on Sunday at Nebraska. Just the talent Barnes was able to bring in. And look at him. Gets kicked out. They're going to fire Shaka, maybe, at some point here in the next 2 years if he doesn't start kicking it in the butt. Meanwhile, Barnes is the number one team in the country right now. What's the right approach? What's the right door to go behind, Vogues, this time if Nebraska is forced to open another door?
Well, I'm always in favor and interested by the go find a lower level savant.
Right.
I don't know that probably sells for this program at this moment. I mean, if Nebraska decides to make a change, you know, you're looking at how far back are you setting the clock?
Right.
And how far back are you willing to set the clock? Because if you're going to go with an up and comer, you know, you're probably looking at 3-4 years. I mean, when you think about what Nebraska will and could lose off this roster, like, it's going to be a big job right away. So there's that, you know, if you need something quicker, if you're like, we want to be back in the tournament in 2 years, you know, I think you have to start looking at those established coaches. Can you lure somebody away with a ton of money, most likely, and facilities that are good and fan support that's among the best in the country, maybe, you know. What's that Mata up to? I mean, that's, you know, you throw that name out there, and I know he got fired at Ohio State, but he made that program pretty strong, and there's some similarities. Ohio State has a richer basketball history than Nebraska. You know, is somebody like that an option? And I don't know. I mean, I think everything's on the table. Like, if they're going the sort of mid-major group of five route, you know, it has to be, I think it has to almost be a slam dunk guy. You know, when you talk about a Musselman, I don't know if there'd be much support for this. You know, Kelvin Sampson at Houston, but
oh my God, Kelvin in Houston's great, but wow, Kelvin Sampson has been awesome. But you want to talk about flaming bag on doorstep? I mean,
right.
At some point, it's the poop's on fire, you know?
Right, but the point is, I don't think you can go out and get whatever guy, you know, leads Colonial Athletic Conference Team A to a surprising Sweet 16 run, which is how this always happens. You
know? I know.
These guys go on one run and move up the ranks, and you still don't know enough about them, so I think that's maybe the key for me. If Nebraska were to be in the market, is they need somebody who's a little bit more proven than just who gets hot in the tournament last year or this year. Well, and that could be an established coach, you know, a former P5 guy, or it could be a lower level guy who's won quite a bit.
How about Alford? What's that do for you?
Yeah, I mean,
He's won in the Big Ten. He's a different cat from what I'm told. So I don't know. I'm just throwing out guys who've won.
It's tough. Like, I mean, even coming up with like a dream list of like, hey, you get your top four picks here, and then you get to go out and take your swing and try and get those guys. Like, it's hard to even come up with that. When I mean, at least a realistic one of guys who'd answer your phone call and call you back. I mean, I think there'd be interest in the Nebraska job. I just don't know at what levels and by who, because as much as it might feel a little random that Nebraska is the lone power program out there without a tournament win, I think it does still stand out too. And it could be a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a matter of how the coach views it.
Patrick Knight's still around, just saying.
Adolph Rupp passed away in 77.
I know. And Patrick Knight, I gotta throw just Patrick Knight firebombing his senior team when he was at Lamar. That's always good. He goes a little bit further over the edge than calling his guys soft.
Dana Altman's got to be sick of hanging out with the hippies out west. He's not a hippie.
He misses Wilbur and check days.
Exactly.
You can make check more, day every Saturday.
He's a more traditional sort. Come on.
Vogues, what's coming up here on Hail Varsity this weekend?
Yeah, so we'll have some photo coverage today from men's gymnastics, which has a big meet with Oklahoma and track and field, where Jerron Woodyard, if you didn't see, made the finals last night, Nebraska wide receiver in the 60 meter dash.
Nice.
So some different things than we usually have. Of course, we'll be tracking the Super Bowl all day tomorrow to see how the Huskers perform there. And then got our February issue here coming up in a couple of weeks, so we're busy at work with that. And baseball's right around the corner. Had a baseball story go up this morning, so getting into the winter / spring sports here. That it's tough to always get to with football.
Vogues, you're awesome. Good talk this morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks,
it's Brandon Vogel, and you can follow him on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. Reminder. Time to buckle up, click it or ticket. You want the seatbelt or the windshield? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. It's Iron Horse time. Gary Sharp, and we come back with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, weekend edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Colton Stone, give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt _ radio, at Mark Skurs, and at Two Birds, One Stone. And no one's passed out yet. We say hi to the Iron Horse. We welcome in Gary Sharp. Sharpie, how's your week been, man? What's up?
Not bad. I'm not passed out either. You got 30 more minutes to hang in there.
Well, we are pacing ourselves, gentlemen. We were talking to Vogues about this, and we got his kind of assessment. And
yeah, you know who doesn't pace themselves?
Just stop. Sharpie, what's your take on all of this, man? You see and hear a ton of things, and Nebraska basketball is not doing great, and then this pops up with the Moose rumor and innuendo, and Hank and Ronnie got to put a statement out. Are you just pulling your hair out?
Well, it's bizarre, and maybe it's Nebraska. I mean, it's kind of seems to pop up every so often. We have a little bit of a drama. It's really kind of unprecedented that a president and chancellor would respond to rumors, but I actually think they had to, because things had taken off so much on Monday that I got a text or a DM from a coach at Nebraska that was on the road recruiting, and they were wondering, what the heck is going on? And I said, well, this is what is out there. I don't, you know, I think some of it's BS. And he said, well, it's like all over the place. So they had to respond to it. And I, you know, they said what they had to say in as few as words as possible. And then Bill Moose is going to be Bill Moose. Bill Moose is a man of people. Bill Moose likes people. Bill Moose is who he is. He isn't going to change after this incident. But with that said, there were some pretty damning stuff that was said about him. It wasn't, hey, he's fighting with the chancellor and the president. I mean, that happens in any business.
there was stuff about a specific incident involving drinking. And I would think that him, first of all, it's tough to work with people that you think might be leaking stuff or starting rumors. I think he has to, you know, maybe look into it, like to who started it, because that was a specific incident that, you know, set tested the character of Bill Moose. Now, with that said, I think the president and the chancellor, if you are fully supportive of your athletic director, we're going to find out how quickly that truly is, guys, because you have a decision on a men's basketball coach that is coming up here shortly. Are they going to let Bill Moose handle that all? And also, it's no secret, Bill Moose would like a football-only facility, and that has moved forward, but do you move it forward quicker now to say, hey, we support our athletic director? I don't know. It's, you know, it's one of those things where if the basketball team is 2-2 in their last four and not 0-4 in their last four, are we having this kind of a discussion? Are we breaking down what Bill Moose is wearing to a basketball game? But it's the times these days, and I think from Bill Moose's standpoint, his Q rating, guys, is higher this morning when he woke up than when he woke up on Monday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people that think that he walks on water because he got Scott Frost here. But he understands the state. He's appealing to everybody around the state, and he knows that Lincoln and Omaha, how they look at the University of Nebraska, is a lot different. So what just a bizarre week. And what has been a, you know, that power chair at Nebraska has brought out some bizarre things over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and there's always going to be a little bit of drama with it, of course, because Nebraska fans are like Lenny and of Mice and Men and hug a little too tightly, and, you know, it's a little ridiculous. Now, let's switch over to hoops. There's still a chance that Miles turns this thing around and Nebraska turns this thing around. Those chances seem slim. I'm curious, especially with you, Gary, you were play-by-play for Florida Gulf Coast back before they made their huge run and with kind of a different up-tempo brand of basketball. You're with Nebraska Omaha now, and so you see mid to everything from low to high major hoops with their opponents. It feels like Nebraska hoops needs to find, similar to like what we say with football, needs to find some sort of identity, needs to do it maybe differently, not just recruit top 150 guys and hope for the best. What have you seen over the years being up close and personal on the floor with all kinds of levels of college basketball that is maybe innovative? Maybe a few coaches that are doing things differently, styles of play, whatever that is. What have you seen that maybe Nebraska could try to bring in to turn around this century of futility?
Well, each coach has the style they're familiar with. Of course, Creighton likes to shoot the three. And in a make-or-miss sport, if you're making the threes, Creighton's style looks great. If you're not making threes, what's your plan B? I think simply, and looking at Wisconsin play the other night, and we all look at Wisconsin and go, oh, my God, that's just ugly basketball. Well, look at the bottom line in Wisconsin with basketball. They're winning. They're going to the NCAA tournament. They're going far in the NCAA tournament. I think the common denominator across the board, the teams that play really well, is good, solid guard play. If you get good, solid guard play, you get shooters that make shots, and you know how to rebound, you have a shot in college basketball these days. Running up and down the floor isn't for every coach out there, and it's not for his recruiting ability to find all of those guys. But I think if you start with the guards and you get solid guard play where they are facilitators, they are drivers, they trust people on the floor, and in clutch time, when they have the ball in their hand, they're going to make the right decision, I think you have a chance. I think what with Tim's thing, and this is all over 7 years, is he hasn't had an identity of how they play. They're kind of up 1 year on this level, next year they're on this level. And right now with these guys, when you can't make shots, and especially at the rim, that's not on Tim Miles, that's on the team. I don't know where you're looking, but I think today what they need is a win. I don't care how they get it today. They just need a win to say, all right, whew, we got to win without Isaac Copeland. Let's go from here. Because I really believe the next three games this week, this upcoming week from today until next week, are really what will determine Nebraska, because you have an opportunity to play a ranked team in Maryland at home on Wednesday and on the road at Purdue. The road game a week from today at Purdue doesn't look so good. Today looks good for you if you play well and you play smart, and then you come home and you could upset Maryland, who's a ranked team, or may not be ranked after last night, but they're still one of the better teams in the Big Ten. This is a big week for Nebraska, but I think guards, you know, I think when you look at Nebraska, Glenn Watson right now, that bounce and that trust they had back in December, here on February 2nd, I don't see Glenn on the floor with, even without Copeland, having any trust for guys to make shots or to get buckets when the shot clock is down in the single figures.
He was a minus 16.
No, I know.
It was
bad. Let's talk about the thing that is driving Nebraska fans nuts. It's effort and rebounding. Do you look like you care to play? They did against Wisconsin. They had energy. They came back from a monster deficit. And, you know, you're going to coin flip Wisconsin a lot because they are so good and balanced. But when you look at style and system, you really just don't know what to label it on offense. And that's also part of the frustration with Miles. It's not that they may be underachieved with some air quote tournament teams or teams that are loaded, but there's just no direction and identity like you touched on. With Nebraska on offense, Sharpie, what do you think the issue is? Is it the quote-unquote offense, the motion that's the problem? Is it the guys they have that just aren't making shots? Or do you think it's more of a situation where there's no repercussion with shot selection because guys are taking shots really early in the shot clock when they're up or when they're down? I mean, they're going from bad to worse. The other side of it is the offense is so inept that they may have the best look they're going to have in a possession the first 7 seconds. What can you put your finger on why the offense is so up and down?
Well, the thing that is ailing Nebraska right now is roster construction. The amount of players that you have, the kind of players that you have. Let's first address rebounding. Rebounding is a lot of effort. It's also knowing how to rebound. You know, when Marlon Jacobson were on the roster, Nebraska is a pretty good rebounding team. They have guys that I don't think understand how to rebound or have that real basketball savvy to know that, okay, this could be a long rebound or find your guy, box him out. In terms of guys looking for their shots, hunting shots, I don't know where they're going. Like Thomas Allen, and I have huge hopes for Thomas Allen when it's kind of his team next year. You know, is Thomas Allen the guy that stands outside the arc, or is he a guy that steps aside and hits that mid-range jump shot? James Fulmer Jr.'s got to get to the free throw line more, which means he's got to drive. I don't know. I think there's a lot of standing around. One thing with this team that has always been the case, even when Nebraska got off to that blazing start, is you have to design a lot of stuff for guys. You can't all of a sudden say, hey, James Fulmer Jr., go and create something. Yeah, he could do that. But I think with this team, the coaching staff has to create a lot more situations for them. And when that bogs down, boy, what is your plan B or plan C? It's right now. You have to find a way anyhow to win today, just to get a little bit of confidence going. But it's, you know, you were playing well before Copeland went down. You didn't look great against Wisconsin. You're having trouble scoring the basketball. I wish I could find an answer for you guys, but it's tough right now. And you know, you're in a point where your head coach is pretty honest about his assessment of his team, and he's absolutely right. When he flips on the film from the Creighton game and he flips on the film from the Wisconsin game, even without number 14 on the floor, he sees an entirely different team when it comes to energy, bounce, and confidence. And who knows where that went. And I think that the question is they've lost it and they don't know how to find it.
Gary, look, I think everybody likes Tim Miles, but, man, that's on the coach, right? I mean, you're pretty much your number one job. Get those guys in condition, of course, but keep them mentally right. Right? Like, that's the difference.
Well, and this has been a theme of where a team gets to this point of the year and they just look mentally and physically frazzled.
Yep.
And is that because of the amount of minutes they're playing? What goes on that we don't see when they're playing a game? You know, are they being driven? I mean, there's just a lot of questions here. And it's one of those things where this year you had your best roster in 7 years, and things are unraveling.
Yep.
But I will say this from this basketball team that gets ready to play this afternoon in Illinois, is you're still on the bubble. You at least helped yourself with a couple of good wins in the non-con. The Big Ten is solid. You've been able to hang around in a bracket and not completely fall out. But at some point, you got to help yourself. And I don't know if they can help themselves for what will take 5-6 wins from here on out to at least get themselves into the tournament.
Gary, switching over to football, the signing day is next week, the second signing day. And Nebraska is maybe one or two guys. It feels like Damarian Houston, the receiver, is a likely commit, but it's not for sure. But Nebraska's having trouble at that outside linebacker spot, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, the Dylan Jordan recruiting was kind of quirky. I think mom really liked TCU. Kerry Patterson recruited his dad. Stephen Parker is somebody that would be a great fit. You know, it's the pass rushers, you know, you don't develop them. They're kind of born, and you got to find them, and that's been a familiar theme for Nebraska football. I do like how they're selling. You can play opposite of Caleb Tanner, and we really like what's going to happen over there. And we think you can play in space. You can rush the passer. I think it's one of those things with the outside linebacker that they just, you know, they it's not some lack of trying. It's just they haven't been able to seal the deal. Now, I think they still have a good shot with Stephen Parker, but it's going to be, you know, between them and Kansas. And if when we close the books on this recruiting class, and, you know, you were all really excited in December, and then you look at January, and January was like the most boring month of recruiting that Nebraska football has ever had. You still feel good about January, what you got in December, but you're going to go, huh, you signed nobody or one in the last period? What happened? Well, that's kind of where we're at with the early and late signing period. But I think Nebraska, that's still a point of emphasis. Go find an outside linebacker. I think wide receiver, outside linebacker, and maybe a center. If you had a grad transfer that fit any of those roles, you would open up a door for him and roll out the red carpet.
Gary Sharps with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Sharpie, it's junior day, 40 kids on hand to check out Nebraska and an evaluation opportunity for Nebraska to look at some of the top underclassmen. What's your take on two kids that you've had a chance to see out of Omaha? You have Betts and Watts, and is it Betts that is, or is it Watts, forgive me, that just got the Notre Dame offer? Where does Nebraska stand with both of these targets, the Bell West product and the Burke product?
Well, let's first start with Xavier Betts at Bellevue West. He probably has more upside than Xavier Watts. If you look at the size of Betts, he's 6'3", he's got great hands, he can high point the ball. He's a good route runner. He has to take care of some things that make him more viable to schools out there. Minnesota is heavily interested in him. P.J. Fleck was at Bellevue West earlier this week. Nebraska likes him. He has some work to do. On the other end, I love Xavier Watts of Omaha Burke, and he's the one that got the Notre Dame offer. He also is at a high school where Barrett Rood stopped by yesterday. Barrett Rood was at Elkhart South to talk about Teddy Bryanston, who is a 6'9" tackle who will be going into his junior year that already has an offer from Elkhart South. You already know two Burke Bulldogs are at Nebraska. They're early enrolled in Henrich and Hickman. Went there just to say hello to Paul Lamonti, the head coach and the state champion. Oh, by the way, Xavier Watts is in that school. I'm interested to see where Nebraska sees him as a wide receiver or a defensive back. But I think he is a talent. I think he's the best player in the state in the junior class that will be seniors next year. He's very dynamic. He can do a lot of things. Those are two guys out of the Metro that I think Nebraska would love to have. And, you know, you're probably looking at maybe four more wide receivers in the class of 2020. But watch Xavier Watts in the recruiting. Barrett Root does a great job of recruiting in the state, and especially in Omaha, where it's not a slam dunk that a kid's going to go to Nebraska when they get an offer. I think Scott Frost starts to sell, especially Xavier Watts, what his role is in Nebraska's offense, to say, hey, you could be the Anthony Thomas of this recruiting class.
Now, for people that haven't seen Xavier Watts, would you compare him to somebody? How would you describe his skills?
You know, he kind of is a little bit like a, I would say, a J.D. Spielman.
Okay.
If you want to go on the current roster, great speed. He's got a great ability after the catch to stop on a dime and take off again. But when he gets into the open field, he's tough to catch. Now, I like him, and I probably think his position in college is wide receiver. I really like him as a defensive back. He's a very smart football player, especially when he's in man-to-man coverage. And going against wide receivers that aren't necessarily in the state of Nebraska, you have these top-notch wide receivers every round, every game. But I think he has a good knack for the football. But on offense, I would compare him to Spielman. He's also got great hands. You know, they've been pretty lucky during lots of time at Burke to have a good quarterback in Tyler Chadwick. But anything that is around Watts, he's able to catch. Both of those guys would be a big pickup. But watch out for Minnesota, because Minnesota, P.J. Fleck, who spends a lot of time in Omaha, desperately wants somebody from Nebraska here in the next year or two.
Well, Nebraska's gotten the top three players in the state of Minnesota the last few years, so he wants a little payback. Yeah. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse with us, Hail Varsity. Sharpie, quick thought. What does Sue's Super Bowl Sunday end up being? Rams or Patriots? Who you leaning for?
I like the Patriots 24-20. We all know Sue, who is a competitive introvert. You know, he's quietly had a really, really good year, and he's had a fantastic playoff. It would really take his persona to a whole nother level, and you wouldn't hear as much about the dirty stuff. You'd hear more about Sue went to Los Angeles, and he was a big part of winning a Super Bowl. I think he'll be a big key for the Rams tomorrow, because what does Belichick do with their defense? Or when they're on offense, they usually try and neutralize the best player on the other side. That's Aaron Donald, who's one of the best players in football. So Sue's got a great opportunity to wreak havoc tomorrow. And, you know, we talk about what do we want to do now that he has opened the door to get more involved with Nebraska. Would it be something? Do you think people in this state would lose their mind tomorrow night if Sue sacks Brady and he jumps up and throws the bones?
That'd be nice. Half the state would freak out about the bone throwing. The other half of the state would freak out that he crushed Brady. I mean, it's a win-win.
Burkhead would be conflicted at that point.
what a fun Super Bowl. You got those two guys. You got Zach Taylor, who's going to go on to the Bengals. You got Greg Zuerlein, who started his career at UNO.
Yep.
And then you got Matt Longacre, who is from Millard West, who is with the Rams right now. It's kind of a fun Super Bowl with all the Nebraska connections.
It is. Sharpie, thanks for your time today, man. Awesome stuff as always, bud. We'll get caught up again.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Burkhead Gary Sharp v. Sue on goal line to win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Who wins? Burkhead's got a full head of steam from the three.
Sue sticks his arm out and clotheslines him. That's who wins.
Sue sheds his block, meets him right at the goal line, standing there.
I don't want that. I don't want Husker on Husker crime.
Well, what happens?
Well, I mean, Sue is going to do everything in his power to swallow up somebody.
He's got leg arms.
Yes, he does.
That'll help. You know what I think is cool about tonight? Like, the Super Bowl streak for Nebraska, 26 years now, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that it's actual, like, real contributors that you are going to see on the field a lot. Because there's been a few of those years, like, you know, Nate Gary last year didn't play it. You know.
Right.
Well, the roster, fine, but he didn't play it a ton. You're talking about Sue. He's going to be on every defensive snap, basically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then Burkhead's going to get some carries and some catches.
Reminder to you, if you're out and about, weather's going to be awesome in Lincoln. Get by Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick, 1 Carat Diamond. Solitaires, just $100 a month. Think about that. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much you care. Maybe it's time to upgrade a ring for her. Maybe it's time to get that first ring for her. Sauter Heyman can help. 1 Carat Diamond Solitaires, just $100 a month. That's affordable. It's beautiful. And it's with the experts, SauterHeyman.com. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, out west in Grand Island. Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend. We'll have coverage starting at 1 on ESPN Lincoln. Colton Stone, Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. Thanks to Gary Sharp, Grant Wistrom, and Mr. Brandon Vogel. HailVarsity.com for the podcast, or get us on iTunes. Take care.